Have you ever dated somebody before?
Imagine
you are the lady and you go to see this young man that you are dating, and then you took all the stress to come. You took everything that you could take to come, made the sacrifice to go and see him. And then maybe you get to his house, or maybe you get to fast food or wherever you would want to see. And then he sees you and he's like, "You're welcome." Then you now say, "Ah, babe, how far? Are you okay?" "I'm fine." Then, any problem? "No problem." "Any issue?" "No issue." Why you sound like this? Is there anything wrong with how I'm sounding?
You are wondering, why is he giving this attitude? And you try everything and he tells you there is nothing wrong. How will you feel?
Are you with me?
Maybe you were expecting a hug as you are coming. "Babe!" You should be like, "I've missed you. What?" But no, he's not giving you the vibe at all. He's just, "What is it? Must I be so excited?" You now have to start asking yourself, is it that he's angry with me? Or he does not like me again? Are you following me?
Yes.
Wait. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
That means you expect that if this guy loves you, there is a way he must respond to you by default. In fact, sometimes ladies can relate to what I'm saying. There is a way a guy will be so excited around you, you'll be thinking, "Does this guy actually like me?" Because every time, "Mercy, you are looking beautiful today. See this, your dress. How was your day?" And he's talking with you. 30 minutes he's talking. 45 minutes he's still talking. You'll be wondering, you're like, is it that this guy is interested in me? Because of the way he's responding. Are you following me? In the same way, how can you say you are worshiping God and throughout the whole worship, even to lift up hands is a problem? Some people are lifting up their hands. They are even singing. Some people will not sing. Nothing. Do you know what that means, actually? That is actually a sign of spiritual decadence. It's a sign of death. It's a sign. What is death? Death means you are unable to respond in a certain way. What is called paralysis? It means that a part of a body is disconnected from control. So, when a person's leg is paralyzed, the leg is there, but it's no longer responding to the brain. You know, right now I can decide to go forward and I will go forward because my central nervous system is working. My body can respond to stimuli. Are you with me? But when a person is paralyzed, that leg is numb. It's as though there is no leg there. His head cannot control it. If you pour water on it, he will not feel the pain. He will not feel cold. He will not feel healed. He's just there. It means that even though it is present, it has started dying because it is connected from life. Are you following me? When a person finds it difficult to respond to God, it is proof that the person is disconnected from the life of God. Are you with me? It's more serious than just trying to have a great service. Are you with me? It's more serious than just trying to have a jiving people or a... No. It's a very serious thing. That's why I keep repeating it. Praise the Lord. The same person, you know, I keep saying it here. The same person that is finally saying, I'm not a spiritual person. I don't shout too much. I'm just a quiet person. I'm a very principled man. Chelsea will call. And you hear the sounding goal across Abuja. Goal! Nobody told them shout goal. You know the way we say shout glory. Nobody will tell them, can you shout goal now? As you can see, the ball has entered the net. Shout goal. Nobody's able to shout. They just say, goal! And on their own, they start dancing. Some of them will remove their shirt and start dancing. Without instruction. Without teaching. Do you know what that means? It means that football is valuable to them. Are you following me? These things are serious. Hey, God. I have to just dodge opening scriptures. If I open the Bible, when God sees that in the life of somebody who professes to be a Christian, God is jealous. The Bible says God is jealous. Let me not open it. If you read James chapter 4, you see what I'm talking about. God, James was speaking to a church and he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Now, who is an adulterer? An adulterer is somebody that has a husband or a wife and yet is more excited or is carried away by somebody else. Are you with me? It's called cheating. So he committed or she committed adultery, where you have a husband or a wife and you left your husband or your wife and went for another lady or another guy. Are you with me? In the same way, God calls it adultery when you say you are a believer, but then you are carried away by other things. Are you following me? Ah, Jesus. You are carried away by other things to the point where you are not excited, you are numb. The same person that they are trying to stay sing in church when they start playing Bolanle Pepe Demo. You don't know better thing. Bolanle Pepe, you find out the person, I like the beat, I like the beat. Play on. Boom, 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 boom. I like the beat, I like the bass inside. And God is just somewhere looking. Can I shock you? This is one of the reasons for unanswered prayers. This is one of the reasons for unanswered prayers. You are wondering how did I... You know, thank God Bible Illuminates on Tuesday. Yeah. I'm going to be teaching how to read, understand, and interpret the Bible. When you start interpreting the Bible, one of the things that will happen to you is fear will catch you. You'll be like, ha! So this is what this means? Hey! Is this what God is saying here? The Bible will begin to grip you. For instance, everybody read James 4 verse 3. Now, you have to context. Shall I will teach on Tuesday. The law of context is you must connect the scriptures to each other. It says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. What does it mean to ask amiss? It means to you ask because you want to consume the things you are asking upon your lusts. Now, how does God know your lust? God knows your lust with the things that you call, that you are excited about. So, verse 4. He says in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So, God can say, you can be claiming, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. God will say, okay, I want to see what is really, what do you really call your friend? So, when God now says that you are so lustful about football, you are lustful about fashion, you are lustful about worldly things, then when you come to his own, you are not, you don't care, you don't really give a damn about spiritual things, you know, you are worshiping, you know, what are they doing? You are just there. Then you are now praying for something and God is saying, I know you, this thing you are asking for, it's not, I'm not at the center of your heart. You want to consume it on what is really in your mind. Are you with me? Because of that, you say you will ask and you will not receive. Whereas, there are some people before they ask, God brings. He says, I know that these things you are seeking for, the Gentiles also have need of them, but seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things will be added unto you. Are you seeing that? We can just look at a worship service and know where you are spiritually. In fact, in a worship service there, there are some that are already, they are embarrassed for other people. They see somebody kneeling down crying. They're like, is it that deep? Ah, waiting now. Okay, oh, too much. You too do. Whereas you will say that guy, this guy, why is he always abnormal? You are the one abnormal, you don't know. You are with God, you are doing steez. Demure. Okay. Okay, no problem. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
You relegate God to the backside. And you think, are you following this?
Yes, sir.
And you think you're going to get the best of him? No! No! How long is the service? 2 hours, max 2 hours, 30 minutes, and that's it! Some of you, some people, after Sunday service, they don't have a midweek service they attend. They may never open their Bible throughout the whole week. They don't have a spiritual life at all! Nothing! Just on Sunday, the worship max 30 minutes to worship God with your heart. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
In trying to be woke, you slept off. You slept off spiritually. You are sleeping, but you claim you are woke.
Today's sermon has been titled Supplying Joints. Let the glory be louder. So, quickly, Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to your people. Speak to us today in a special way in Jesus' name. You know that in the month of September, we have been talking about the church and we've covered so many subjects. I will encourage you, go back and listen to the other teachings on this series. The series for the month was actually called Ecclesia. Ecclesia is just the Greek word for church. And in the month of September, we've been studying about the church because we know in our generation, there are so many misunderstandings about the church. Listen to them, they'll really bless you. Today, we want to talk about supplying joints. Now, one of the outstanding revelations that Apostle Paul received from Jesus about Christianity is that Christ has been joined to his church. Or Christ has joined himself to the church. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, it's not going to be an overstretch to say that this was the first revelation that Paul received from Jesus. Remember when he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians and to kill them. And then on his way, he encountered Jesus and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? And Saul said, you can open Acts chapter 9 from verse 4 to 5, you see this there. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So I am Jesus. Now, Paul never persecuted Jesus directly. Are you following me? He never persecuted Jesus directly. But he was telling Paul, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Are you following me? That means every single time Paul was killing the Christians or trying to injure Christians, he was doing it to Christ directly. Jesus said it not in a metaphorical way. Jesus meant, he said, I am Jesus that you are persecuting. That means you may not agree, but in the spirit, Jesus says when a person gets born again, he and that person have become one. Are you following me? You are connected to him in a very close, deep, inseparable way. This is very serious. So, are you with me? Are you with me? I know the ways some of you are not responding. You want us to keep on worshiping, Abby? Next week, Sunday afternoon. Ah, Jesus. You know, those days in the university, when I used to worship in my room, I would play in the keyboard in that room and I would have some of my friends, they removed the window. The louvers. I did not know they had done it. Until I opened my eyes and saw about five guys in the room. I said, what's happening? They said, ah. Say that thing that you are doing, we came to join you. Learn to worship with your hearts. Are you with me? Well, so Jesus is saying, I am one with the saints. I am one with my people. I am one with them. This is very important. Are you with me? You know, see, one of the major differences between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God is that in the kingdom of God, God knows everybody in his kingdom personally. Are you following this? For instance, Nigeria has a population of about 200 million people. Everybody in this country knows that our president or the king of this country, of this kingdom, is President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. I can assure you that President Bola Ahmed does not know every one of us. If you were in Ghana, Morocco, or Kenya, and you ran into President Bola Ahmed and say, oh, you look like a Nigerian, you can lie and say, no, I'm from Morocco. And he will believe you. Because he does not know you personally. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
some people are wondering, where is Pastor David going? Just follow me. Tell your neighbor, just follow. And that's why this same Paul that encountered Jesus and got this revelation from Jesus, that was the first thing Jesus told him. I am one to my people. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul also says, he says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
I like the way the Bible puts it. Look at the phraseology. It says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Say after me, God knows me.
God knows me.
Can you say it again? God knows me.
God knows me.
Now, let me show you another one. Ephesians 5 verse 30. Ephesians 5 verse 30 says, for we are members of his flesh and of his bones. One of you were leading prayer today and were declaring, I am a member of his flesh. I said, this guy has spied into my notes. I think that was Owen, Minister Owen. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Do you know what this means? Hey, God. You need this revelation for your healing, no? You need it for your healing. Because look at verse 29. Everybody look at verse 29. The Bible says in verse 29, it says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So he's saying that every man that has a flesh will cherish his flesh, will take care of it, will nurture it. Are you with me? Will do some skincare on it. I'm talking to some people, they know themselves. They will do some skincare. They'll get some nice creams. And then, he now says, as God is doing that to his flesh, or as Christ is doing that to his flesh, he now says, you are a member of his flesh. Hey. And of his bones. Hey, God, that's a place to rejoice. Verse 30, please put it on the screen. Maybe they are not shouting because they are not seeing it. Something, I'm a member of his body. Of his flesh. And of his bones. You know, Jesus. Some of you may not have heard me share this testimony before. If you are here and you have not started reading your Bible, please start. Many years ago, let's say somewhere 2008, I was reading my Bible. And then, those days I was not as busy as I am now. Those days I could read my Bible as much as 10, 12 hours a day. So I read the Bible that day and read it and read it. And in the evening, I got into Ephesians 5. And I got to this place. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, you know, because of social media age, there are some things, spiritual things that happen that people can no longer grasp. I was reading it in my hard copy Bible. And it seemed like this verse leaped out of the Bible and entered me. Are you following me? Are you following me? Follow me carefully. So I stood up and said, hey, I'm a member. I'm a member. Hey! And my mom came out and said, you're a member of what? An occult group. What's going on? Are you okay? So I was running around telling her, see, I'm a member of his flesh and of his bones. See, she was like, calm down, calm down, calm down. I said, do you know that I'm a member of the body of Jesus? I'm a member of his flesh. Now, what was happening to me was that the word of God had been quickened in my spirit. You know, it's one thing to hear the word of God in your ears. It's another thing when it hits your spirit, you respond differently. And so that's what happened. Forward 2 years later, I was in Lagos. Staying somewhere around Magodo, Rajoladi Magic Crescent. And in the night, around 12 midnight, I was sleeping on my bed and I felt a man open my door. Now, I was not sleeping in terms of closing my eye. I was awake, just about to doze off. And I heard somebody walk through the door. Physically, I heard footsteps. And the best, you know, people who don't believe in the spirit realm, they say everything is, there's nothing, no demon anywhere. The only demon is your ignorance. Don't worry, you will soon jam one. This being came, held my neck, and was pressing the neck. I could feel the hand physically. I could feel a presence, but I couldn't see the person. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so I began to battle. I was just going like this. I will hit the wall. I will feel this pain, this person. And we're just going like that. I felt that with the way I was struggling, the people upstairs will hear me and come down and rescue me. No, nobody heard me. I was just there struggling and battling alone for about 45 minutes. And then I remembered I am a member. Hey! It's as if there was somebody whispering to me just quietly, "You are a member. Remember, you are a member of his flesh. You are a member. Remember." You know, people die and people don't even know. You know, when a person dies, there's no chance for the person that died to tell him what to tell us what killed him. Are you following me? Ah! And at that point, I had struggled so much. I had left the room. I had struggled with this guy. I was in the balcony. And I shouted, "I'm a member!" And like, oh my God. This guy disappeared and I was free. I ran upstairs, banged on the door, woke everybody up. "Did you hear what I said?" I said, "No, everyone has been quiet." I said, "Hey, now some people, they die, oh." It was this verse in my spirit that saved me. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free." Well, let's go on. Say, "I'm a member of his flesh. Of his bones." You know, Jesus said, "I am the door." His kingdom is different from every other kingdom. For him to be the door, it means nobody enters his kingdom without a personal encounter with him. Are you with me? You cannot enter the kingdom without him knowing you personally. Say that me, God knows me. And not just that, he knows you personally. We have seen already that you are a member of his flesh and of his bones. You are not just a church attendee. When you got born again and began to attend church, or you began to attend New Breed, you are not just a church attendee. You are a member of the body of Christ. That church is a part of the body of Christ. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
We are part of the body of Christ. In fact, we are an assembly in the body of Christ. That's the real biblical term. The Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." So, in Zion, there are different assemblies. We are an assembly in Zion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what does this mean? It means that if we are part of the body of Christ, that means we have functions in the body of Christ. We have responsibilities in the body of Christ. No part of the body of Christ should be left without functioning. Imagine, see, let me tell you something. Every part of your body is important too. You think it's a joke? Just have boil on your bum bum. You will be so miserable. Ah, my God. You say, "Sit down now." No. You will stand if you become a standard. Hey, God. Just let your hand, this your finger that you think is nothing, let it have one kind of pain and Whitlow starts. You know Whitlow?
Yes, sir.
Ah, God punish Whitlow. The pain on that index finger, you will now know that every part of your body is important. Every part of your body, for you to be okay, every part of your body must function well. Every part. And that takes me to the core of what we are talking about today. Ephesians 4 from verse 16. We may need to go from verse 11. So just take the ride with me. I'll be fast. Let's start from verse 11. The Bible says, in verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11, everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. Now you read. Read. Teach us. Verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Read on. "Till we all come in the unity of faith and the Son of God. Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We are not closing. Go forward. Verse 14. "Whereby the lying way to deceive." Verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Now, verse 16. Now, this is where we must pay attention. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth." Pause. So he's saying that the whole body of Christ is fitly joined together and it is compacted. Are you following me? By that which every joint supplies. Meaning, for the body of Christ to be complete, you must put your quota. For the body of Christ to function the way it ought to function, there is a supply that you must be making. Say after me, I am a supplying joint. I am not a dead joint. I am a supplying joint. He says, glory. You must shout glory for this one. Glory.
Glory.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, the interesting about Christianity is that in Christianity, like the great theologian C.S. Lewis put it, he said, in Christianity, if Christianity is false, it is of no importance at all. Are you with me? Let me say it again. He said, if Christianity is false, it is of no importance at all. But if it is true, it is of utmost importance. But one thing it cannot be is of moderate importance. The thing about the Christian faith is, when you study the Bible, there is almost no space to be in the middle. It's either you are really in, really serious, or you are out. There is no space like average Christian. Everything, every subject you study, you will just see that it has grave implications. For instance, look at the way I explained to you about worship. So, a person who does not express himself in worship is actually, that's a litmus test to show where he is in his work with God. In fact, you can actually say he's a spiritual adulterer if he's not worshiping God the way he ought to worship God. And we looked at the Bible to see, are you with me? Now, I want to show you another one. Look at this verse. You know, can I be honest with you? One of the things that made me like this, years ago, I used to have struggles with Christianity. Before I got born again, my dad was a pastor, a missionary, and eventually he was killed. And so I had the beef with God. I was angry with God. For years, I was angry. Then one day, I said, what if this Bible is actually true? Let me study it. Is that study that has brought me here? I have not recovered. I was arrested. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, in my journey, I discovered that, you see, if the Bible is true, if the Bible is the truth, and the Bible is what it says it is, that means it must change my disposition. No? The Bible does not have middle ground. It's not gray. For instance, look at this. Just look at this. Ephesians 4 verse 16. It says, the whole body of Christ is fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now, pay attention. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I know that when you are reading this thing in King James, it can just sound jumbled up in your mind. According to the... I am wondering, what is he saying? But follow me. So we've gotten the first part, right? The whole body of Christ is joined and compacted by what every joint is supplying. Now, he says, that supply is according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Remember, we said you are a member of the body of Christ and you're a member in particular, right? So that means what you supply, to ensure that the body of Christ is fitly joined together is according to how much of God's work is at work in your life. Are you getting me? So, look at it. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, the measure you supply is a testament of how much God's work has prevailed in your life. Your measure that you contribute, we can know where you are in your spiritual growth by how much you contribute to the body of Christ. We can know what measure, how much measure of Christ that you have attained, where you are in your walk with God. We can know by how much you are. Are you following this? When you see people say, I have a walk with God. But you see all this chatting, everything. I'll carry church on my head, carry God on my head. I know you all the things, but you see me, I know God. If you are not supplying anything, According to this verse, you don't know God. It says, we can know where you are in your walk with God by what are you supplying? What are you supplying to the body of Christ? So, we know you are growing spiritually by what you are supplying. You know, some people, God, there is something called spiritual apathy, where you look fine outside, but spiritually you are dying inside. You are dying. And part of the things the Lord told me today for this service, that there are some people here, God is telling you it's time to wake up. Are you hearing me? You are not in this service by coincidence. Maybe you came by mistake, but you are not here by mistake. What are you supplying? We know where you are in your spiritual growth by what you are supplying. What are you supplying to ensure that the body of Christ is or the church of Christ is fitly compacted and increasing? Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you? Well, let's move on. Say after me, I'm making progress in my walk with God. Say it again, I'm making progress in my walk with God. Glory! Say after me, the work of God is effective in me. The work of Christ is effective in me. Glory! So quickly, what are we to supply? Number one, love. Say after me, love. Romans 12 from verse 9 to 10, it says, let love be without dissimulation. In the KJV, what does dissimulation mean? It means let love be without pretense. You know, there's something called fake love. Somebody can be acting all nice and loving, but when the real matter shows, you know, you will find out the person does not care about you. He says, don't be like that. Don't let your love be fake. That's what he says. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So, love. Be kindly affectioned. People should see the way you relate to other believers. People should come to church and see the way we relate and know that, no, these guys love themselves. These guys truly love themselves. Praise the Lord. Number two, what are we to supply? Your time and your presence. Your time and your presence. Let me tell you something. Have you ever asked yourself, one of the things that changed my Christianity was this question I want to ask you. Ask yourself, if every Christian was like me, what will be the outcome of the church? That was one of the questions that changed my attitude to God and His work. I said, if all the Christians in the world were like me, if all the pastors in the world were like me, this was many years ago, where would the gospel of Christ head to? As at then, it made me rethink my life. Are you following me? Now, I think I'm at a better place. You see, let's not go far. If all of you were like me, Abuja is taken. Glory! Hey. Well, some people understand that statement. The ones that understand what I'm saying, they know what I'm saying. And let me tell you, in fact, Abuja is taken. Amen. Say after me, Abuja is taken. Your time and your presence. 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 15 to 17. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 15 to 17. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they, praise the Lord, that, is it Akekia or Achaia or Achai? I remember looking at the scripture with the pastors yesterday. All kinds of pronunciations. What is this? Well, whatever, Sha. Achai is an Igbo name. Leave it here. Praise the Lord. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruit of Achai, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hi. Oh my God. Oh my God. They have supplied so much that people say, these guys, you have carried this thing on your head. Now, you will see the result of this. Verse 16. It says, yes, submit yourselves unto such. Now, that means it is people who are very present that will become leaders. Look at this. It says, he was telling the Corinthian church that, you see, Stephanas, you have to submit to them. Because they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know, people complain that, church is the people that's close to pastor. People that know me. I don't have any friend, though. Ask my wife. I don't have any friend in the whole New Bridge. I don't have any friend. If you are committed to the work of God, you're my friend. If you're not committed, bye-bye. You're not my friend. Because eventually, I'm going to stand before Jesus. Who is following what I'm saying? I will stand before Jesus. And you know, I will meet Jesus and telling him I have my clique. Do you know how many times when New Bridge started, my guys from the oil field that we used to do jobs together, they will come and want to gist with me. I said, okay, I need to pray now. Like, David just chill with us. I said, see, God gave me assignments. Bye. I don't know if you are getting me. I have people to pray for. You want me to chill with you? I have human beings to fast for. You want me to chill with you? It says that you submit yourself to such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So there are people that says, I will be present to ensure that the work works. Are you with me? Yes, that's the supply. Their presence. Now, imagine you came for a service and there was nobody in the service. How will you feel? Some of you know what I'm saying. Imagine you come to for a service and you just see only the pastor leading the prayer. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. The pastor is leading the prayer at the same time adjusting the mic. No, I've been there. I know this thing very. At the same time, the pastor. You are leading prayer, you are adjusting mic, you are telling people you are welcome, sit down here, you are sitting down here. Then, you have already arranged your phone for streaming. So, as I'm preaching like this, I will just adjust it. I will adjust the tripod to be streaming. I remember when my wife now said, okay, you know what, let me start handling that one. And gradually people were coming and handling that one. If they don't show up in the service, the whole service will know. You know, when you are a member of the body of Christ and you are a member in particular, your presence and your absence is felt. You may think that, okay, it's because it's a big church. Let me tell you, your presence and your absence is felt. It's felt. Your time and your presence. Do you know that your presence alone can be somebody's encouragement? Do you know that? Your presence alone can be somebody's encouragement. Let's read on. It says that they help us and they labor. Verse 17. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas. He's talking about them. And Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Are you seeing this now? For that which was lacking on your part. So now, the person that is supposed to handle something did not come. Or the person was supposed to take opening prayer is not around. In New Bridge, Abuja. Ubong. Because we know he will be there. Before you know what's happening, Ubong has taken prayer almost 50 times. If there's anybody that took opening prayer in this life, Pastor Fitz. My wife. Joshua Glory. When we started Port Harcourt Church, 2019, September. Hey! 1 hour opening prayer. She go lead prayer. So, as she leading prayer, I'm setting sound. As she leading prayer, I'm speaking in tongues, looking at my notes. They are blessed in the name of Jesus. Yeah. She will lead opening prayer. Oh, then I will now come. Thank God I could play keyboard. We wanted to hire keyboards that time. Keyboards will tell you, one mighty money that you jam 10 services offering, you will not even get up to half. So, okay, no problem. You see this service? Me, I will play keyboard, I will sing. So when she stops opening prayer, I'll play the keyboard and sing. Sometimes, because she can sing too, my wife will be backing up. By the time we are done with service, then usually those services there, when we're not finished, it's not like, yeah, it's chilled here now. We set down everything. It was a school classroom. So when we set down everything, we'll now go and pack where we keep the classroom things from. We're going to carry it on our head back to the classroom. By the time we are done with that thing, it's 12 midnight the next day. Then we'll now lie down on the floor like they beat the shaggy out of us. Lie down and sleep like that. And we continue again. By Monday, evangelism. Just because there are people that must hear the gospel, are you with me? And must be groomed spiritually. He says, for that which was lacking on your path, they have supplied. So there are people who have been made themselves, this thing will work because of me. And they are supplied where others are lacking. The person that's supposed to handle this camera is not around. They will supply and fill it up. They come to a church. They say, oh, you know, thank God. You know, I thank God that God did not rush me. I have, by the grace of God, with all sense of humility, I have a track record. There have been ministries and ministers I've served so many years in this country. I remember going to churches where you go to the church is singing, there is nobody to play keyboard. That which was lacking, I will supply. Are you getting me? I will go to churches. This one is wrong. I remember during my youth service, there was a big dynamic church close to where I was staying. And I entered the church. Look at this big church. Nobody's playing keyboard. The choir is just singing, we're clapping their hand. I went and said, please, can I just, after playing, they say, who are you? Where did you come from? They were grateful. I became music director of that choir for more than a year. Taught them parts, all kinds of things. From then, a time now came, I was now the personal music minister for the pastor. A time came, only David, I was part of the evangelism team. Only David, sanctuary team. Only David, too, communion team. Because there were so many things lacking. A time now came, the pastor said, can you preach today? Because the person that was supposed to handle this is not around. Will you do it? I will feel it. The person that was supposed to handle this is not around. I will feel it. The person that was supposed to handle this is not around. The person, he said, you can have your hands on this service, Abby. And I said, sir, if it's, well, you know, you have to be very careful and humble too. I said, sir, if that's the only option. And I said, oh, it's true. We have not taken you through our own school of ministry. You know, no, say the person way they talk to, Before that time, I don't do applied diploma in associate diploma in applied theology more than 8 years ago. Before that time, I was just, yes, sir. That which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. As a Christian, I'm not saying that you must become a pastor. I'm not saying that you must. I don't know how to put it, but in your little way, your presence. What are you doing in the church? What are you supplying? There are some people, because of them, there's some of you in service today. It was people that encourage you to come. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
There's some of you, today is your first time here. You didn't even, but they encouraged you to say, come to church. Come. Come and hear. Come and be blessed. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
You know what's happening? That is their quota. They have encouraged somebody to come and be blessed. You will leave this service and know that, no, I went for a service today. I love the worship. I was blessed by the worship. I heard the word of God that challenged me. Now, that quote, that blessing you are experiencing was because somebody, are you getting this? See, you know, sometimes when I'm saying this as a pastor, it looks biased. It looks like he's saying it because he's the lead pastor. And that's how he just wants all of us to be like that. So that it looks biased. But if you are a Christian, this is how you ought to be. I remember being in the choir in Port Harcourt. I was part of that church. The church seats like 3,000 to 4,000 members. But there was a day I had to beg the choir leaders. I said, see, I cannot come early. Those days, our choir resumes by 6:30 a.m. 6:30 a.m. We are standing with our robe. We will now do dress rehearsal for the service. God. So I had to tell our provost, I said, I can't come early. They said, why? I said, I have one soul, I have one. I need to bring him to church. God bless Akan, wherever he is. Because I went to his room to bring it to his house to bring it to church. I can say, he said, I will come. Waiting goes, nothing will stop me. I went, come and see bottles of Southern Brown. Come and see bottles of 33 export, beer everywhere, packet of cigarettes. And I led him to Christ the day before. I said, you must follow me. I talk. He said, my dear daughter, I love you, come. I said, you must come. Encouraged him. He came to church. In service, that's when I knew there was a problem. I gave him Bible. They say, open the book of Romans. I said, did you do Romans here? You don't know the book of Romans. I said, open the book of Romans for him. Do you know this guy did not understand anything that was taught? Nothing that was taught. The only thing he heard was, if you want to give your life to Christ, come out. He tapped me and said, I'm supposed to come out. He said, I need Jesus in my life. I was like, okay, wow. Okay. I was preaching to you, now you are preaching to me. Okay. The guy stood up, went out, surrendered his life to Christ. He said, got your Bible, please. Can I collect it from you? And from there, at the point I stopped having to invite him to church because he had gotten his own conviction. I was in secondary school when that was happening. You know, when I was going to university, I told him, I can't, I have to move on. He said, no problem. But this one you have given me, I will hold on to it. So forever he will know that there was somebody that supplied Christ to him. What are you supplying? Who has come to church? Who has embraced Christ because of you? Who is taking this thing serious because of you? Okay, in the church, what are you supplying? Praise the Lord. So your time, your presence, and that takes me to the next thing, your skill, your talents. Number three, your talents, your skill. Praise the Lord. Your talent, your skill. Quickly, Romans 12, verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're just saying the work of the Lord should not fail in your hands. So you put your skill, you put your talents. Everything you are seeing around is people's different skills and talents. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Amen. Number four, thing that you must supply, your treasure. When we say your treasure, we just simply mean your giving. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not going to emphasize on that so much for today, but I just want to pray. Every partner, everyone who has been a tither, every partner, everyone who has given and you have been given to the work of God here, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. The Lord increase you in Jesus' name. No matter how small it is, oh God, the Lord bless them in the name of Jesus. The Lord increase you in the name of Jesus. And no matter how small it is, the Lord increases you in the name of Jesus. You increase 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Amen. Later we'll talk about New Testament giving. I know we are living in a day. Constant banter church. They give Bishop Rose Royce, they're angry. When I saw the gift on the live stream, I say, wahala will soon start. Twitter has been on fire since Friday. They should have said it and give it to the poor. You say your own face. Say your own face. Example. Do it by example. Why you buy an iPhone? iPhone 16 is about 3 million. What are you using 3 million to do? Sell it and give to the poor. Before you preach, do your own first. We'll talk about that later. I know you are blessed. And finally for today, your spiritual supply. So now, everything we have talked about supplying for the body of Christ to increase or for your church to increase. Love, your talents, your time, your presence, your skill, your treasure. But there's another one that's not so popular, and that's what the Lord wants me to emphasize as we round up. Your spiritual supply. You know, somebody met me after one of our services and said, Pastor, is it that every service is a Bible study? I say yes. Yes, every service is a Bible study. If it's not Bible study, A time will come where you'll be easily deceived. This generation. I'm seeing too many people who say, I was once attending church. I don't care about church again. What were you hearing? That's my question. How did you get to that point? Are you following me? The problem is what people were hearing. They were not hearing the real stuff. That's what happens. When you are not getting the real stuff, that's how somebody can say she doesn't believe Jesus was anything he said he is. No, I'm telling you what I encounter. I'm telling you what I encounter in evangelism. Young people, I'm not talking about, young people. I'm telling you what I encounter. You have not jammed the truth. That's why. And so, please bear with me. Amen. Your spiritual supply. Romans 1 verse 9. Paul speaking here. Romans 1 verse 9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Now, how do you serve God with your spirit? This verse does not leave us in doubt. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. In my prayers. So, how do you serve God with your spirit in the gospel? By prayers. Now, many people, the popular ways of supplying to the church is, oh, be loving, oh, give, oh, give your talent, give your time, and all of that is very important and spiritual. But you see this one, it's not so popular. And God has asked me to reemphasize it. He served God by prayers. He supplied the work of the Lord by prayers. Are you following this? See, until you get to this point, in church, one of the major things that disturbs the church is gossip. You know that, right? Many things people are talking about, if they are praying about, they will not have time to gossip about. Have you heard? That brother, did you hear what he did with sister? They will not change this, and they will speak in tongues. He will now be my beloved, is the most beautiful. You see, and because it's a believer, wonders shall never end. Christians of these days, go and pray. Are you following me? You see somebody in church, the person does not look so touched and all of that. After every service, the person looks like he's struggling with one thing or the other. He does not look so well dressed. And every time you see the person, you're like, bless you. Go and pray. Say, see that sister. She don't even reach 40. She never married. Go and pray. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Pray for the person. Oh God, this is my sister. Increase them. Are you with me? Increase them. This member of our church that looks like things are not working for him, increase them in the name of Jesus. This one that looks like he's not spiritual, oh God, in the name of Jesus, open his heart to get the word of God. Are you getting me? Let me tell you, as a pastor, see, by the grace of God, I've been a disciple for years. I've had the privilege to see people when they come. I and my wife, we've been doing this for years. We see people that when they come, they don't look like anything spiritual. When they come, you will see one big ring in their nose. I'm talking about, big one or not, small one that is fine. Oh, Jesus. You see your tattoos all over their body, they are worshiping, they are chewing chewing gum. Prayer is going on, they are just chewing chewing gum like they don't care. Or everything. But my own question is, they came, okay, what will I do? I will start praying. I and my wife sometimes will write their names down, go and start praying. We prayed for one particular girl to the point she was in service. This girl was acting like she does not care about spiritual things. So, the natural propensity for me, who is a pastor, spiritual, say, you're not serious. This one is not even serious. This one, which kind person be this one? Are you getting me? So, we began to pray for this girl. One service, we were in the service, we were worshiping and praying. Do you know what? She just screamed and started praying in tongues. She screamed and we were wondering what happened. This girl does not really care about spiritual things. She was crying and after the service, she said that while the service was going on, she saw Jesus walk into the service. She was wondering why everybody was not seeing, because she was seeing it like she was seeing a human being. From that day, that girl changed. I mean, the change was drastic overnight. You see, but somebody was praying that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We're praying. So one of the major supply that you must give is prayers. You see, many churches, they will argue, they will gossip. They are still carnal. They are still babies. Babies. They have not learned how to take people's burden. Okay, this guy has not gotten a job. This guy has been here. Things have not been working for him. We will pray about it. No, it must change. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
The church learned this the hard way. You know, and then, you know, one of the ways to ensure that you are contributing your quota is called corporate prayer. So even if you are not doing it personally, by the time we are praying together, before you know what's happening, you will start praying. You will start praying. You know, the Bible actually says that when we pray together, our effort is multiplied. The Bible says one will chase 1,000. Hey! One will chase 1,000. Two, we put 10,000 to flight. That means two people coming together, you can multiply your prayer power. You can multiply your influence. See, if you are in a relationship here, you are dating a guy, or you are dating a girl, or you are married, you have the opportunity to multiply your power times 10. All the time you are using to argue, he doesn't want to come in. He won't. Oh yeah, let's pray. Baby, let's pray. In fact, if you have a guy or a babe that you don't pray together, wahala de danger. Red flag. In fact, black flag. Pray together. I'm telling you, when you pray together, you will love yourselves more. When you pray together, you will know whether it's God's plan or it's not God's plan. Am I talking to you? See, they're all quiet. Oh, they're all in relationships. I'm sorry. His marriages are coming. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Remember when James was arrested and killed in Acts chapter 12 from verse 1. We'll rush down. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. You know this James he killed? He was the one with Jesus on the mountain. You know? He was the one at the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Satan, now bad Satan. Satan, people say we will pity. Satan does not have pity. He does not have pity. He went and took Peter also. Because he saw that people were happy, he took Peter. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him to four continents of soldiers. Go to verse 5. Four continents means 16 soldiers. That's what it means. Peter was guarded by 16 soldiers to ensure that after Easter, they will bring him, and while people are dancing, they will cut his head. He says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. I like that, but prayer. Oh, this sister is always sickly in church. Every time she's sick, but prayer. So the church can say, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. Then, do you know what it means? If you read the story to the end, no time for that. They prayed to the point where an angel came from heaven. Did not, oh my God. Read it. If you can read it in your closet, or you can scroll down. The angel appeared and the chains on Peter's hands, they broke. The angel brought Peter out. My question was, where were the 16 soldiers? Where were they? If you read this story, there was no red talk about them again. No. I'm sure by morning they'll be asking themselves, what happened? So the problem is not how strong the issue is are you they pray? But prayer was made without ceasing, meaning the church rose up and began to pray. They began to pray and said, no, Peter. Do you know the great apostle Peter was released by the prayers of the saints?
Yes, sir.
You know, the way we do church, we think that it's all about a great pastor. And people are going to be blessed by the great pastor. There's a place for that. But there are some times where you need a praying church to save a great pastor. If not, the great pastor will be killed. They go kill the pastor like this. They will say, if God call him, you know, for that. No, you're supposed to have saved him. Because the pastor is also part of the body of Christ. Even though he's the head. See, even though he may be the head of the church, there is a way a head will have problem. That if other parts of the body are not working, it's gone. You may be a brain, but you need a central nervous system to support you. I'm telling you. You may need a brain, but you are not the heart. You may be the head. You need somebody who is making the heart to beat to save the head. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You know, I don't even think the church knew that they have so much power. They were just praying. And then they now discover that, so we have the power to outwit Herod. People don't know how serious that is. Just imagine in Nigeria, you heard. You know, Herod was not, oh my God. Let me not go too deep into all of that. Herod was not just a Jewish leader. Herod was representing the emperor in Israel. So it's like Nigeria, God forbid. But imagine Nigeria. Let's say Britain comes again and conquers Nigeria and puts somebody above this country. Maybe they say the director general or president general, they bring somebody, maybe one Lord Lugard or something. And he's now the new president of Nigeria. After overthrowing this country, then they now arrest the pastor. He arrests the pastor. I don't like you. He arrests the pastor. Even if your people wanted to save you, they cannot. Because Israel was conquered. Are you with me? They now put him around Roman soldiers. They just say, you don't be, you don't go. But guess what? They began to pray. They began to pray. And Peter slipped off the hands of Herod. The church said, okay, so we have power like this. That's how the church began to learn. The prayer was so powerful. If you read to the end of chapter 12, they did not pray for Herod to die. But one day, that prayer that they prayed was still working in the spirit realm. It was still powerful in the spirit realm that Herod wanted to talk one day as he was talking. The angel of the Lord said, collect. That's what the Bible says, that the angel of the Lord smote him. And the angel smote him, and the Bible says worms came and ate Herod up. I don't know what you are going through. Maybe you are here saying, Pastor, my marriage. Pastor, I know I want to serve God. I want to, but see, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen, as we pray this morning, that yoke of marital delay will be broken.
Amen.
That yoke of barrenness will be broken.
Amen.
We can decide that we say everybody in this church, we are going to pray now, and every jobless person will get a job.
Amen.
Are you with me? Everyone who is struggling to make ends meet to begin to have fruitfulness. Are you with me?
Amen.
We can decide together, pray, and say we are going to decide as we pray from today. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We can decide and say, this church, Newbury Christian Community Abuja, 1,000 more souls are coming in.
Yes,
are you with me?
Amen.
Jesus said, where two or three, if two or three shall agree in my name as touching anything, I will be there in the midst of them.